If you will, turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 1. I'm going to give you just a moment to find this scripture because I'm going to read several verses and bring you some points from each verse. Now, we're going to begin our reading with verse 46. Luke 1, verse 46 and 47. And the title of the message is Mary's Song. Mary's song is our song. In Luke 1:46, and Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, my friends, we must not, we dare not worship Mary. We must not worship Mary, the mother of Jesus of Nazareth. We dare not pray to her. We dare not make her a mediator between us and Christ, us and God. We dare not bow, listen to me, before her statue or any other statue of saints or apostles or disciples or any other idol. This is idolatry. And it's the height of folly, and it's forbidden in the Word of God. Now, this is the day of what we call visual aids in worship. This is a day of idolatry disguised. We have pictures of the disciples. We have pictures of Christ. We have pictures of Mary. We have statues and idols of departed saints and idols of Mary. And the Word of God plainly says, I would not offend you. I would be true to your soul. I would be honest with you. The Word of God says in Exodus 20, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. A believer, a Christian, a man who's seeking God and following the Lord, has no business on his knees in front of anyone but God, in front of anything but the living God. Not a cross, not a statue, not an idol, not a picture. We've got no business with these things, even in our homes. The more you have of God in your heart, the less you need visual aids and reminders. And the more visual aids and reminders you have and need, the less grace you have in your heart. Now, in Revelation chapter 19, verse 9 and 10, the Apostle John was on the Isle of Patmos, and he was receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ the Lord, and the prophecy of things to come. And the angel said to him, write. This is an angel of God now that appeared to the Apostle John. This was a messenger of heaven. This was the one of the elect angels who appeared to the Apostle John and said to him, write, for these are the true sayings of God. And John said, I fell at his feet to worship him. That seemed like the normal, natural thing to do. If an angel came from the throne of God and met with you and appeared to you, an angel in all of his immaculate holiness and beauty and glory, came from the throne of God to tell you some things from the mouth of God. Well, John fell down to worship. And the angel said to him, see that you do not do that. The angel said, I am your fellow servant. I am of thy brethren. Worship God. And that happened twice in the book of Revelation. Worship God. Don't bow even before an angel. Now, Peter is said to be the first pope, which is not true. But the Apostle Peter went to the house of Cornelius to preach. And in Acts chapter 10, verse 25, as Peter came in, Cornelius fell down at his feet. Here was Cornelius, a Gentile. Here was Cornelius, a man who didn't know God. Here was Cornelius, a man to whom God had spoken in a vision, and told him that he was going to send him an apostle. This is one of the 12 apostles, to tell him the gospel, tell him how God saved sinners. And when Peter, the illustrious, God-honored, Christ-chosen apostle of the Son of God, walked into this man's humble house, he fell on his knees. And you know what Peter said? Peter said to him in Acts 10:26, stand up. Stand up. Don't you do that. I myself also am a man Are you getting the message? Are you, my friend? There are no men or women or creatures to be bowed before. There are no vicars of Christ on this earth, substitutes for Christ to be bowed before. And all who claim that distinction are imposters. They're denying the Word of God. They're denying that they themselves are but men, frail, fallible men. We're to worship God. We're to bow before the Lord God. Listen to Matthew 23. Our Lord says, call no man your father on this earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. The only holy Father there is in the universe is the Lord of glory. And any man who assumes such a title is an imposter. One is your Father which is in heaven. This is the Scripture. Do we want to hear God's Word, or do we want to bow to our traditions and customs? Do we want to offend men or offend God? I prefer to offend men. One is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters or doctors or bishops, archbishops, or any other title. One is your master, even Christ. He that is greatest among you shall be your servants. We don't seek for recognition and fame. We seek for His glory. And He said, he that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So learn this lesson well. I'll give it to you as clear as I know how to give it. They that worship God, the true worshipers, worship God in spirit. Not lighting candles and carrying crosses and bowing before statues and calling people on this earth vicars and holy fathers and the masters and this sort of thing. They worship God in spirit and truth. We are brethren. Even the angels are our fellow servants and our brethren. The apostles, preachers, ministers, elders, deacons, all who represent God. And the greater the man, the more humble and the less assuming and the less glory he takes to himself. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ our Lord, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took on himself the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the shame, the ignominious sufferings of the cross. Let this mind be in you. Oh, this religious day with all of its idols and visual aids and all of its bodily exercise, it profiteth nothing. Godliness, spirit worship, worshiping God in spirit, walking with God as Enoch, speaking with God face to face as Abraham, because we have a Redeemer, because we have a substitute, because we have a mediator who is Christ the Lord. He is all in all. He shall have all the preeminence. He shares it with no man or no creature. Clean your house out of all of its idols. Clean your so-called churches out of all of their idols and figures and statues and pictures of things in heaven and earth and departed saints, and bow before the sovereign throne of the living God, the throne of grace. Worship God from your heart. My friend, I'm telling you the truth. Am I your enemy for telling you the truth? You'll never communicate with God through a piece of stone. You'll never communicate with God through a picture or idol. You'll communicate with God through the living Christ. He's not dead. He liveth. But while we do not worship Mary or pray to Mary or exalt Mary or give her a place of preeminence which only belongs to Christ, let's recognize her in the same fashion that the angel recognized her. What did the angel say when he appeared to Mary? In verse 28 of Luke 1. Look back at verse 28 of Luke 1. He said to Mary, Mary, you're highly favored of God. And she was. And God's with you. Here is this virgin, a spouse to Joseph, not married yet, never known a man, probably 16, 17 years of age. He said, you're highly favored of God. God's with you, and blessed are you among women. He said, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a child. And she said, that can't be. That can't be. I don't know a man. Oh, yes, you're going to have a son. And the Holy Ghost is coming upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. And that holy thing which shall be conceived in your virgin womb shall be called the Son of God. And my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, that son that was born of Mary, loved her, had compassion and affection upon her. But he never indicated in any way, he never called her mother. And he never indicated in any way that she had any power, any influence over him whatsoever. Did you know that? Never. Never did he even give that indication. I don't know where we get that, because Christ never even hinted or gave any indication that she had any power whatsoever or influence over him. Let me give you an example. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 50, our Lord was preaching to a great throng of people in a building. And as he preached, a man came to him. Someone came to him. Scripture says someone. And said to him, your mother and your brethren are outside and want to speak to you. Now, let me tell you something. This thing of the Immaculate Conception of Mary is falsehood. She was born of a human mother and a human father, and she was born with human sin. She said, my soul rejoices in God, my Savior. The only person that needs a Savior is a sinner. She thanked God for his mercy. And the only people who need mercy are sinners. And she had other children. I've heard people say Mary never knew Joseph. Yes, she did. After Christ was born, not before, but after he was born, she had other children, Judy and Josie, and there was a daughter, I believe. And Mary and her other children were outside. Even his brethren did not believe on him. That's the brethren of his household. And they were outside the house, and someone came to the Lord and said, your mother and your brothers and sisters out there, they won't speak to you. Now, if she has any power over Christ or any influence over Christ, it'll be revealed right here. He'll stop what he's doing and go see what she wants. And that's what people expect who pray to Mary, who make her a mediator. They say a mother has great influence over a son, great power over a son. And if we can get to the mother, we can get to the son. If we can influence the mother, we can influence the son. And that may be so naturally on this earth, but it's not with the Son of God. Mary is just another child, another sinner saved by grace. Let me show you that. And they said, your mother and brothers are out there and want to speak to you. And he said, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And then he pointed to his disciples. And he said, behold, my mother, my brother, and my sisters. My brother, my mother are those who do the will of God. The last time that Mary is mentioned in the New Testament is in Acts 1:14. She's never mentioned in one single epistle. The last time she's mentioned is in Acts 1:14. And it said the disciples were gathered in a room for prayer with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the other women. And they all continued in prayer. They weren't praying to her. She was praying with them. And that's the last she's heard of. Nowhere in the Word of God is Mary exalted to any position over any believer. After the angel announced to Mary that she was highly favored among women, highly favored of God, and God was with her and she'd have a son, he also told her that her cousin Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant with a child. She's in her 6 month. And that child was conceived in her old age. She was barren, but nothing's impossible with God. And that child was John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Christ, who came to announce the coming Redeemer, who came to bring down the high places and raise the low places, make straight a path for the Lord, and cry, prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Redeemer's coming. Behold the Lamb of God. A forerunner always preceded the king. When a king came in glory and majesty, the forerunner always went before him, and that was John the Baptist. Well, Elizabeth was to bring forth John the Baptist. And so Mary went down to see her. And when she walked in, read that in Luke 1, 42 through 46. When she walked in, Elizabeth said, she rejoiced. She said, you know, when you came in, the baby in my womb jumped with joy. John the Baptist jumped with joy when Mary walked in, because Mary was with child of the Holy Ghost. Christ Jesus was being formed in her womb. And Elizabeth confirmed to Mary everything that the angel had said to her. You know, we need confirmation. God speaks to us. God's word's written to us. But believers need to exhort one another and encourage one another and confirm in their own spirits what God has told us and what God has revealed to us. That's what preachers are for. Like Elizabeth was Mary's preacher. God had told her. The angel had witnessed to her. But she went down to Elizabeth. Elizabeth said, "It's so. I'm with child. I was barren in my old age, but God performed a miracle. And my son shall be a special one. And you're with child. You'll be the mother of our Lord. You'll bear our Lord." And so Mary then gave this most beautiful song. I call it Mary's song. Mary's song. And my song, too. It's a song of thanksgiving. It's my song because, watch this. Now, what did the angel say to Mary? "You're highly favored of God." Brethren, every believer is highly favored of God. God had chosen us out of this world of rebels and sinners. He didn't leave us to ourselves. Back in eternity past, according to his own will and purpose, he set his affections upon a people and gave them to Christ and made Christ our surety. We're highly favored of God. Blessed is that man whom the Lord chooseth and maketh his own. And then he said, God's with you, and God's with us. Christ said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I and my Father will come and take up our abode in you." And he said, "You are blessed among women. I'm blessed among men. You who know Christ are blessed among..." There are people in this world who've never heard the gospel. We have missionaries. Our church helps support 10 missionaries all over the world because we believe people are lost who haven't heard the gospel of Christ. They need to hear the gospel to be saved. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but how shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" We're blessed among all people on the face of this earth. We've heard the gospel. And my friend, not only that, but the Holy Ghost hath come upon us. We're born of God. And therefore, that which is born in us, that divine life, that life of God, is born of the Spirit and of the Word. The new birth is not a decision you make. It's a work God performs. The new birth, like the fleshly birth, is from without. You're born of the flesh because there was a seed planted in your mother's womb that gave life. And you're born from above because a seed came from God. The seed is the Word of God. And the begetter is the Spirit of God. And he made you live. You don't go to the church and through your own act or will of the flesh or the will of man or natural generation get born again. God begets his children. We're born of God. It's a supernatural work that God performs. Faith is something that God gives us, but it's exercised by us. Repentance is the gift of God, but we exercise it. Following the Lord is the gift of God, but we exercise it. But in the new birth, I'm sorry, but the new birth's not something you exercise. It's something God performs and perfects. We're born of God. Mary says, "I don't know a man. How can I have a child?" And a sinner dead in trespasses and sin can say the same thing. How can I have spiritual life when I'm dead in trespasses and sin? Well, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of God, the highest, shall overshadow you, and that which is born within you shall be the life of God. You say, nobody's saying that. Not too many folks know that. Because salvation has become a decision of man rather than a miracle of God. Salvation consists now in walking an aisle or accepting a doctrine or changing your, reforming your life. Salvation in the Scriptures was a birth, a new creation. Salvation in the Scriptures was a work of God. And that's what needs to be preached. You say, well, what will sinners do? They'll go to seeking the Lord. They'll go to crying out for mercy. They'll go saying, "Lord, do something for me. Don't leave me alone. Don't pass me by. Don't leave me in my rebellion. But create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Restore my soul." You see that? So Mary's song, highly favored of God. God was with her, blessed among women. And the power of the highest overshadowed her, and life was created in her. Life that no man had anything to do with. God did it. And that life was the Son of God. Behold, beloved, now are you sons of God. That's right, sons of God. And that God sons are born of God. They're not born of men. They're not born of the conniving of men and the plans of men and the purposes of men and the works of men. They're born of God. And Mary began to sing. Oh, she began to sing. She said seven verses to this song. Let's see if I can give you all seven of them in the time we have. She said in verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Now, my friend, the word magnify means to make great. It means to make greater. In other words, we use a microscope and we look at something on a slide and we magnify it. That is, we make it greater than it is. So that can't be what we mean here, because we can't make God greater than he is. So as my soul magnifies God, it doesn't magnify God in the sense that a microscope magnifies a small insect or a small germ. But my soul magnifies God in that my soul has greater thoughts of God. My soul magnifies God in that God, my soul recognizes the greatness and majesty of my God. I fear the terrible familiarity with deity. I worry about folks that talk like this. Me and Jesus got a good thing going. I'm concerned about this familiarity with God when the scriptures don't speak that way. Thomas fell down at his feet and cried, "My Lord and my God." Job said, "I saw the Lord and I repented in sackcloth and ashes." Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord and I cried, I'm a man of unclean lips." Daniel said, "I saw the Lord and my comeliness melted into corruption." And every description of a believer in the Old Testament is one that feared the Lord. And the description of the rebels in Romans 3 is there's no fear of God before their eyes. God is greatly to be feared. God is great and greatly to be feared. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence. O Lord, my Lord, how excellent is thy name. And here Mary, overcome with joy and overcome with expectation, did not forget to magnify the Lord. My Lord, how great he is. How great thou art. When I, in awesome wonder, consider all the works that thy hand hath made, I cry, O Lord, my God, how great thou art. Watch out for familiarity with God Almighty and deity. Secondly, in verse 47, Mary said, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And my friend, God is my creator. God is my king. God is my sovereign. God is my judge. God is my provider. But that which makes my spirit rejoice, God is my Savior. God came down here in human flesh to be my Savior. The Son of God became the Son of Man. The Ancient of Days became an Infant of Days. The Eternal God took on himself human flesh. The Giver of the Law was made under the law. One with God became one with man. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. He shall save. He shall save his people from their sin. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Son of Man came to seek and to save. God, my Savior, my spirit, doth rejoice in God, my Savior. He loved me and gave himself for me. He's my substitute, whose blood cleanseth me from all sin. And then in verse 48, Mary said, "He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid." You know what the word handmaid means? I tell you, one of the best things you could buy is a Greek or Hebrew lexicon, a concordance. It'll give you the meaning of the Hebrew and Greek words. The word handmaiden here is, listen to me, female slave. Mary never called herself the mother of God. Elizabeth called her the mother of my Lord, but she didn't. She called herself a female slave. She said, "The Lord hath regarded the low estate." What is our low estate? Well, we were born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. We were fallen sons of Adam. We're guilty of sin by choice and by practice. And God hath regarded our low estate. He hath lifted the beggar from the dunghill. That's where we were. And made him sit among princes and kings. He hath regarded our low estate. He wasn't. Our Lord Jesus Christ wasn't ashamed to call us, oh, brethren. You know, if your brother was the president of a large company, you'd with pride say, that's my brother. That there's my brother. But if your brother is a drunk, an alcoholic, a bum lying in the gutter on Skid Row, and you and your girlfriend or somebody you're trying to impress walking down the street, you wouldn't point to that bum and say, that's my brother. But Christ did. He pointed to this bum in the gutter of the world's worst sin and said, that's my brother. I'm not ashamed of my brother. He regarded my low estate. And then Mary said in verse 49, he that is mighty hath done great things for me. Holy is his name. Now, my friend, he hath done great things for us. He loved us and redeemed us, but he did it in a way consistent with his holiness, consistent with his righteousness. And then Mary said, his mercy is upon them that fear him. Verse 50. We don't want justice. We want mercy. And then Mary said, he hath filled the hungry with good things. He provides for his own. David said, I'm old. I've been young, but I've never seen the seed of God begging bread. And then Mary said, he hath helped me in remembrance of his mercy as he spake to Abraham. Our Lord made a covenant with the seed of Abraham, who's Christ. And that covenant will be fulfilled. All that the Father giveth me, Christ said, shall come to me. Where are they? I'm looking for them. I've got good news for sinners. I've got good news for lost people. Christ died for sinners. Christ came to save the lost. Look to him and be saved. And sing the song of Mary.